What's up, guys? It's Taylor. Bobby and I had mentioned a couple weeks ago that I'd be hosting and running a couple interviews on my own for the next handful of weeks. And today we have Nate Sperlin of OldMilk.co on to talk about just everything that's going on in the country regarding police brutality, protest, everything that's happening. We recorded Tuesday, June 2nd. Some stuff has happened since then. The officer who killed George Floyd, his charges were up from third degree murder to second degree murder, and the three officers also involved were charged with aiding and abetting second degree murder. Protests continue to go on. Just want to clarify that Nate and I recorded Tuesday, so anything that happened after Tuesday, June 2nd, we didn't talk about, but like I said, we had a really good conversation. I'm excited for you guys to hear it.
It is June 2nd, Tuesday, June 2nd. We have Nate Sperlin of OldMilk.co on. And Nate, I know you wanted to start this off, so the floor is yours.
First, I want to say thank you for having me. Obviously, there have been so many instances of police brutality against my black brothers and sisters over the years. This year is clearly not any different. That being said, I think it's only appropriate for us to start this podcast off right with a moment of silence for Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Tony McDade, David McAtee, excuse me, and James Scurlock. So please, let's take in this moment of silence. Thank you.
Thank you. So obviously we're here, speaking. Obviously good to catch up with you. Haven't seen you since we got effectively kicked out of college in the middle of March. Last time you were on the pod, we were talking about, the late great Kobe Bryant. Now we're talking about something that's plagued the country since, not plagued the country, it's the backbone of the country. This idea of white supremacy, racism, just injustice. It's the backbone of what everything is built on in the United States, and it's coming to a head right now in the year 2020 after I'd say 8 years of a huge buildup, especially because social media, the blow up. But looking back to, and this isn't to discount anything that happened before it, but you look at the Trayvon Martin case, and that to me is really where this stuff starts picking up steam in terms of being a social movement online. And we see where it, leaks into the NBA, and then you have everything that's happened since. But we're here specifically now. What kicked this off, or what really spurred all of this, was the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. A police officer held his knee on Big Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 56 seconds, and killed him. And that's what happened. I use those words intentionally. I don't say, oh, it was a whatever. There was a conflict. No. The officer in question killed him. He was eventually arrested. The three officers who were with him were not. And I think that's honestly the source of the, and let me be clear to make a difference or to distinguish between the protesting, the rioting and looting happening in the country. It's all part of, what's happening. It is what's happening in the country. But correct me if I'm wrong, Nate, but the majority reason for these protests are the fact that George Floyd was killed and the correct steps to achieve justice were not taken.
I think that's part of the point. I also think it's just been a complete buildup of a lack of care in our black and brown communities over since this country was founded in the first place. This country is, first of all, founded on the stealing of land from Native Americans. Through that, this country also engaged in slavery. Then you have the Jim Crow laws, mass incarceration, the crime bill from the 90s. So many things that have occurred that have just totally left black and brown communities in a state of decimation. And this is a point where the youth of these communities, as well as the youth of America, are simply saying, we're not going to take this shit anymore. We're not for that. And it's really great to see all these people out here protesting and making a difference in their own ways. You don't have to be on the streets protesting. Some people don't feel comfortable in those situations. I know I don't, because I'm terrified of police because of all the things I've seen them do. But there are still ways you can help. For example, donating to bail funds, voting. Today's a voting day in many states. Also, just raising awareness, educating the person next to you, the person behind you, educating everyone around you, making sure that we're all on the same page and understanding that this is an oppressive system that has been brought about by capitalism and racism. And through that, we see the interactions of racism and capitalism through the lens of these police officers who think it's okay to brutalize Black bodies every single day. And we're seeing that right now with the protests. We're seeing how many times they have been peaceful protests, but they have been agitated by cops who think it's okay to just start agitating people. We even saw yesterday when Trump was giving his speech that was all about nothing, and then thought it was cool to have his attorney general and his National Guard essentially disperse a crowd of peaceful protesters using rubber bullets, tear gas, and things of that nature, just for him to go to a church and have a photo op with a Bible that wasn't even his. There was a reporter who asked him if that was his Bible, and he said, no, it's a Bible. So it's clear that he doesn't even believe the shit that he actively profits on politically, financially, and other ways. So it's up to the rest of white America who supports him to realize that he's not on the same side as you. He doesn't care about you. He's only doing this because he wants to be reelected come November. And if all of this protest and activism is a foreshadowing of November and things go as they're supposed to go the right way, he won't be reelected in November.
Hopefully that's the case. Obviously, as a white person, I can't relate to the experience that you have on a daily basis. When you say you're terrified of police because of everything, I can't relate to that. What I can do is empathize with it, see it, all the things you see on social media. But where I am at this point with this conversation, and you hit the nail right on the head, Nate, there's so many people in this country who are supporting the president, who are supporting this system, and they don't realize that it doesn't care about them either. There's so many people in this country who, because of this veil that's been, you know, over so many people's eyes, and that's not to negate that there is racism in this country. I don't want to make it sound like there aren't just racist people out there who don't like Black people because they're Black, because of the color of their skin, because of prejudice, because of all that. That's not what I'm trying to insinuate.
Because that's what they were taught as well.
Absolutely. But I do think, like you said, there's a lot of people who don't understand that this system is not on their side either. And this leads, just jumping right into it, because I think there's room to talk about the protests, to talk about what's happening on the streets. But we're also, you know, that there is a ton of that everywhere. So I think the dynamics of the human dynamics of this problem in current scenario, not talking about as in general, the larger situation, but currently, something as simple as Donald Trump nodding to the Second Amendment in his speech yesterday, in his presidential address. He said something along the lines of, my supporters of the Second Amendment, and it's kind of like a wink to those people. The Second Amendment nuts are supposed to be the ones who are ready to bear arms to defend the country against a tyrannical government, right? Mm-hmm. There's no need to defend against a tyrannical government when the people love the tyrant. So there's a whole system. Obviously, it's been in place, but we're seeing it without the veil. It's a mask-off situation where you're seeing that everything is coordinated to benefit one group of people in the top of that group of people. It's the 1% on top of that group of people. And when it comes to the president, all of this is a show. It's about holding as much power as possible and amplifying that display of power by just having police in the streets is a show of great power. Mm-hmm. Dressed in, you know, effective combat gear, using tear gas, you know, mace, pepper spray, and rubber bullets, which are causing a ton of damage, because rubber bullets is a nice term.
They aren't rubber bullets. They're
getting shot
regular bullets, but they're essentially just coated with a thin layer of rubber. They're not, those can still be deadly. And it's also my understanding that the purpose of those types of bullets in the first place was for them to not be aimed at people. They were supposed to be aimed at the ground and hit people in their legs, which is still too much. But what we're dealing with is what these things were intended to be used for, which is evil, obviously. But however, with the whole call to the Second Amendment, which is also being absorbed by a lot of police forces, we're seeing them just totally abusing their power and abusing their resources just to kill off their own fellow citizens, the ones that they were swore to protect and serve.
Exactly, protect and serve. And then you have the president and you have Republican politicians, Democratic politicians who all sit there and claim to care about the American people. This is stifling all of the American people, not just the ones that have been ignored for centuries. This is all of them. And even the ones who – the people who are effectively being affected by this, the people who are – this is against them too. They don't – because their support for the president, this doesn't change anything. I saw videos of, you know, these MAGA groups and I think he called himself a MAGA life coach, saying that they'd be ready when the president, you know, pushes the button, when he calls on them to go out in the streets and act effectively as a very violent, you know, militia. As a very violent, you know, civilian militia, and these people are ready for it, and it's just really like stirring that all up. But on the other side, you have politicians who claim to care about the American people, right? Republicans, I have no faith in at this point. The Republican Party, ever since the president was impeached and only one person crossed party lines, I realized then that's a sheep situation.
Yeah,
Democratic lawmakers, legislators, politicians who don't take immediate and you know, swift and speak out and take legitimate action are spineless. And that care for the American people is completely false. You're seeing it across the country where from governors to mayors to police chiefs to police officers, they're saying the right things. They're quote unquote doing the right things. You see a lot of police officers taking knees, mayors saying they're there with their citizens. All this is happening only for a couple hours later to turn around and enforce those very strict rules and abuse their own citizens. So there's so much here where the rules that are in place that make the country what people, you know, say the country is, the greatest country in the world, freedom, freedom, freedom. This is taking it all away. And the people who are supposed to be there, you know, the people who are supposed to be there to stand up to the president and use their political power, they're not stepping up. And to me, that's pretty spineless.
Definitely. Just to buffer your point, about 2 hours ago, before we have recorded this, there was actually a press conference in which what seems to be the Bronx, I'm reading this off of Twitter, excuse me, where a representative Elliot Engel of the New York 16 was quoted as saying, "If I didn't have a primary, I wouldn't care."
I saw that.
So that just goes to show you how little these politicians actually care about human life and actually care about what the ideals that this country was founded on in the first place. Last time I checked, and in my history lessons when I was in elementary school, this is supposed to be a country of checks and balances. For the past 4 years, where have they been?
Exactly.
There is no excuse for a president to, first of all, be accused of being a rapist several times, take out an attack ad on the Central Park Five who were innocent, essentially advocating for them to be lynched, for him to be impeached. There's no reason for there to be politicians who are still advocating and still on his side. It makes no sense at all. It's a complete abuse of power. It's spineless. It's cowardly because you're scared that he's going to denounce you next. Who cares? Yeah. At the end of the day, we're at such a crucial spot. The only thing that should matter here is right versus wrong, not your self-interest, not whoever's sponsoring you, none of that. You shouldn't care about any of that. At the end of the day, your job is to protect the American people. And instead, you have chosen, many of you have chosen, there are a few politicians. Governor Cuomo has been one to speak out. Pritzker in Illinois, the governor of Illinois, has been one to speak out. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I love.
The GOAT. Well.
She's speaking out. She's amazing. But aside from the three that I named, and there are obviously many more who have also spoken out as well, the vast majority of these politicians have shown that they don't care. Even going back to before this whole, before George Floyd was murdered and we were just dealing with the coronavirus outbreak in the first place, you saw that they didn't care. They were willing to give trillions of dollars to big companies, companies that were too big to fail, quote unquote, but they would only give the small American person who probably lost their job because of this coronavirus that was completely mismanaged in the first place, $1,200. That makes no sense. Where's the accountability?
Corporations got $500 billion in the first relief act. Citizens got $1,200 apiece, and a lot of people didn't get that too because of all the stipulations placed on that act. And bringing up coronavirus is interesting because just a couple weeks ago, there were armed white militias chest to chest with police on the steps of government buildings and nothing was happening.
And also with that, too, you also saw how these policemen acted. They acted like they actually cared about free speech. They didn't have these mob equipments in terms of SWAT vans out, SWAT materials out, military grade weapons or things of that nature. They were just in their regular uniforms taking what that crowd had to say, albeit that crowd was pretty wrong and it's a virus. I don't understand what's so hard to understand about the fact that it's a virus and we still don't understand fully what this virus is, that because of that, you can't go outside. I don't understand what's wrong with that. Last time I checked, viruses are deadly. This virus, because of this virus, 105,000 people have been claimed because of this virus that has been mismanaged. You see that people are dying, but yet all you care about is going to the barbershop or your hair salon just so you could get your little Becky cut or whatever.
To show out at Applebee's.
Yeah, like, who cares? Like, who cares about that, honestly? But with that being said, you saw how these policemen were acting towards a completely irrational crowd. Here we have a crowd, but 2-3 weeks later, fast forward, you have a crowd that is completely rational from the standpoint of, we don't want you to kill any more of us. And they're saying, but maybe, right. And exactly. it's kind of the double standard is so clear. And if you just don't understand it, I'm sorry. At this point, if you cannot see the double standard that has been laid in front of you, you're the part of the problem, and you're too far gone. I don't understand how you can clearly see these violent militias out here actively starting clashes with the cops, and the cops doing nothing. But at the same time, you have peaceful protesters, you have people taking a knee in front of cops, you have people just essentially wanting their voices to be heard, because for hundreds and hundreds of years, not even just them, their mothers, their grandmothers, their generations and generations and generations who have come before them have fought to have their voices heard and have fallen on deaf ears. And now they're being met with tear gas. They're being met with a call from the President of the United States for the Second Amendment to be used, for martial law essentially to be established and things of that nature. It's such a clear double standard. And at this point, if you don't understand it, I don't know what to tell you.
No, exactly. And me being white, we have at least in 2014, it seemed like a shift where if you weren't educated on this, if you weren't paying attention to this, that's on you. And that's 6 years ago. There have been 6 years of efforts and attempts by everyone to educate us on this and how best to deal with it, how best to, you know, move forward. And there's such a dissonance and such an easiness of life where you can just block it out. And there's been obviously the conversation about social media, which we'll get to in a little bit, but you can just shut everything off. When it doesn't affect you, you can just shut everything off. And that really leads me into another conversation I want to have, you know, a couple, it kind of leads to stuff. But one thing I thought was crazy was not just the people, not just the quote unquote, you know, anarchists on the front lines, breaking all the windows, doing a lot of stuff that, you know, they don't have to pay the consequences for. A lot of white people are out here causing a lot of damage that they'll never have to face any consequences for, because at the end of the day, they can just walk home. And like we saw in Atlanta, it's not like that for, you know, non-white people. It just isn't like that, especially not right now. So you have that happening. And I saw a video of just a normal, like, not even any kind of gear, nothing, just normal people walking down the – normal white people just walking down the street, kicking windows in, and, like, people are grabbing them, like, yo, stop. Like, you don't have to deal with this. Like, you get to go home. You get to just keep walking down this sidewalk with your friends, and it doesn't matter at all. Like, we have to stay here we have to deal with this. I do want to talk about curfews.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted it a couple days ago, just a general sentiment, but to me, that idea of a curfew is not to instill order. It's not to do anything of the sort. It's a arbitrary rule that you can say all these protesters are breaking. And especially you're seeing it a lot in LA where they're sending these mass text messages, where it says like curfew 8 p.m., then it's curfew 6 p.m., then curfew 5 p.m., and they're coming, you know, 30 minutes before that curfew. So then you have this imaginary rule where you say everyone has to be inside at this time. And if you're not, we can pretty much do whatever you want or whatever we want. And then the people on the other side who are supporting the president, supporting the police, are like, well, they shouldn't have been breaking the rules. There was a curfew. Am I off on this idea of curfew? Because I think a lot of people see all the direct violence and everything, and they're like, oh, my God. That idea of a curfew really instills that martial law feeling and also is just a rule, like I said, that now these protests are breaking and now it's open season.
You're not wrong. Speaking specifically on L.A., L.A. had – I believe there were reports of LA installing a curfew at 4 p.m. with giving protesters little time to actually vacate the premises in the first place. There have been reports of the LAPD, who we know have a long history of completely violating and brutalizing Black and brown communities as well. You saw with Rodney King, the list goes on and on and on, etc. However, with this, again, the LAPD has been essentially shutting down highways and making it very difficult for these protesters to go home. Adding on to that, of course, there have been sightings of the KKK in LA as well. There have also been police radio transmissions that have been heard, essentially having police officers who have sworn to protect and serve all communities, essentially saying $100 a head, $100 for Black people, $50 for Mexicans. What is that? That's a bounty system against people who are literally just advocating for the right to just be able to be in public spaces and not have to worry and not have to look over their shoulders and not be terrorized.
And yesterday I saw, and obviously a lot of this is coming from Twitter, and we're right on the edge of the media conversation that I want to have with you. And yesterday I saw more videos of these white groups of white militias out there with baseball bats, out there dragging baseball bats around, you know, ready for war, ready for action.
Being given, and with that, they're also being given the blessing by local police departments. They're taking
pictures with police departments. I saw a video. It's this guy. He's up on a roof, and he takes a video. He's like, I got my AR up here. And he takes a video. He's like, this is crazy. This is never going to happen again. I couldn't really see what's going on. Then I realized it's like this white militia, and the police are all like taking pictures with each other, like having a great time. So none of this, like you said earlier, if you're watching all this, you're part, and you don't see the problem, you are the problem. That's the fact of the matter, because it's right in front of you now. And this leads nicely into the conversation about the media, because some of the stuff, I've limited my standard news consumption a lot. Just graduated with a degree in journalism, so I'm supposed to be all about, I'm supposed to be all about this, and it's miserable. The mass media, from what I've consumed and, you know, what I've read, what I've watched, everything, they're painting this picture of, they keep saying violence breaks out, you know, chaos, whatever, all these, you know, big words that are supposed to, you know, make you feel something, but they're not explaining what's actually happening. So my question for you, Nate, is at this point, where are you finding the best information? Because, you know, you and I had an interaction this morning. Obviously, like I said, it's Blackout Tuesday, and we'll get to that. I posted the black screen. You hit me up. You know, we had a conversation about it. And in my brain, I put it there, didn't realize I was clogging the feed, because in my brain, I get all my information from Twitter. So I'm constantly just going over there. Is that where you are at this point, just looking for these primary videos?
I mean, that's how I was last year. That's how I was 2 years ago. That's how I was 3 years ago. At the end of the day, it's clear that when we're talking about moments like this, where us, the little guy, have to stand up to these big corporations and these rich people, the 1%, for a lack of a better word, the media simply isn't reliable. Because when you actually think about it, let's think about it for a second. If you're in the media, right, you have people, I don't want to specifically name names at the moment right now, because some media members have been doing good work.
Exactly.
Don Lemon has been amazing. Everything that he has been saying is spot on. You could tell that he cares. Chris Cuomo is another one. But at the end of the day, these are people who are being paid millions of dollars to speak on the media, and they've earned it. But with that being established, if you're earning millions of dollars, are you really going to be speaking out and advocating for the dismantling of the class that you find yourself in? Probably not.
The government gives $500 billion to corporate America to bail them out. The news is completely run on ad revenue. It's not hard to figure out what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, money rules everything. We all know that. We all know that. You're making all this money, and the money's coming from somewhere. And if the corporations are the ones being attacked, if the corporations are the ones ultimately upholding a lot of this oppression, because you can set all the rules, and then economically, that's where you hold it. Mm-hmm. Like, they are part of they are, you know, a major part of this issue in this country. And if their money is the one supporting the news isn't going to drag them the way they need to be dragged.
They're owned by a lot of these people. I'll point out that the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why Trump is so mad at Jeff Bezos.
And the crazy thing is, in my opinion at least, the Post does a much better job than all the other papers in the country at what it's supposed to do. The New York Times refuses to say, after all the times that Trump went after them, the failing New York Times dragged them through the mud for years, and they still don't have the guts to go for him. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And one thing that's been bothering me a lot about journalists and the press in general is that they think that their role as journalists, as the press, makes them different from the human beings that they're covering. Mm-hmm. And granted, like, there is freedom of the press. You know, they are supposed to be protected. But these journalists are seeing, you know, young people being shot in the forehead with these rubber bullets, right? And they're holding up their press pass, screaming press towards the barrel of a gun. That doesn't make sense to me, and it's really exposing this delusion within journalism that they are a branch of the government, that they are essential to making this all work. And what you and I are doing right now is technically journalism. Mm-hmm. What you and I are, you know, doing, like, we're both part of it. Like, you and I are both writers. We both talk to people, get their perspectives, take material, condense it down for an audience. That's what we do. This is what I'm talking about, are the human beings out there. And I'm not saying this is all of them, because there are a lot of journalists just, you know, catching these, you know, stray rubber bullets for no reason. They're just in the crowd. They're not out here trying to. But the ones who are, like, screaming press and hiding and yelling, press, 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 you can't hit me, I'm a reporter. It's like, do you not see what they're doing to everyday citizens right next to you? Exactly.
They actively want to take away your First Amendment. They're actively trying to do that. And with that being said, you just screaming out that you're press and expecting things to be okay for you, that's not where they're at anymore. They don't want you to record. They don't want you to record them brutalizing protesters. They don't want that. They will do whatever they can to make sure that that doesn't happen. And we need the press to get wise to that. We need the press to stop trying to cop fleas for this such a wannabe dictator.
Bro, they're not the president and the police are playing by no rules right now, and they're still thinking that in the press, to me, they're playing by all these rules. It's like the rules are gone right now. Like, you're yelling press and still getting shot. Like, stop yelling press and get out of there. Like, it's not about your roles or whatever anymore. It's like, yeah, you're in harm's way. Everyone's in harm's way. They don't care at this point.
Definitely. And also, I think that the press is also really trying to fall back on narratives as well. They're trying to blame looters for the reason why everything's going to shit. But that's simply not true. I saw a video, I don't remember if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, but definitely during these protests, where you have a white woman who's coming out of a store and clearly she's stealing. It's clear that she's stealing. However, the news anchor or whatever wants to say, oh, maybe she's an employee. So even through that, you see the racial injustice that's at play. And the reason why everybody's protesting in the first place.
I had that in my notes. I had that exact video written down right here. And it's like, if that's a black person or another non-white person running out of that store, not a chance. That's definitely the label of a looter. 1,000%. I mean, I saw videos of guys pulling up on motorcycles to the Patagonia store in Northern California, breaking the windows and stealing surfboards, getting back on the bike and riding away. And the reporters are just asking them, like, oh, are you here for Black Lives Matter? It's like, hell no, they're not here for Black Lives Matter. It's like, what do you...
Be smarter. Like, ask better questions. Like, it's clear that they're not. It's like the media needs to get smarter. The media needs to realize that there's bias within itself. And they need to examine that before they have the, before they feel the need to be able to just automatically assume things and pass that on to people who aren't, who are scared in their homes.
The idea of objectivity is paralyzes them with this kind of stuff, where it's like these people know what's happening and can't bring themselves to call what's happening in front of their face, 5 feet in front of their face, what it is. So whether that's because they're paralyzed by their job, by their career, by the rules of their job, or it's just, you know, it's racism. Whether it's not in your face racism, it's still, that's covert. That's, we can't bring ourselves to just state that this woman walking out of a broken window holding like six dresses is a looter. She's a, like, come on. She's not an employee. How many employees do you know walking out of broken windows with dresses in the middle of the night? It's not happening. Stuff like that was very frustrating to me. And I think it really exposed how media and the press, and I don't mean to lump everybody, because like you said, there are good people doing it. And I know a lot of good people in it doing it the right way. But what's leaking through and what so much of America that doesn't have any other source of information is seeing just isn't what's happening. You know what I mean? But I think another thing, at least, you know, you and I off mic, we're talking about, I think this is day eight. How much do you think having no sports has to do with that? And this is a where me and you get into more like mine and your lifestyle, where we're just like watching basketball every night. And it's like, that's routine. You get normal and like, that's what matters. How much of the attention do you think, it's so big, it's so now, is because we don't have that kind of distraction right now?
Well, I definitely think that in this case, obviously through Corona, the lack of sports was a bad thing. I was surviving off of just watching The Last Dance. All I literally do was eat, watch The Last Dance, and plot. But now we're at a point where we see the lack of sports being used to our benefit. There are no distractions. You cannot, there is nothing you can do. You're watching TV, you're watching CNN, you don't like what they're talking about, you try to turn on First Take, guess what? Stephen A. Smith's talking about it too. You try to turn on Undisputed, guess what? Shannon Sharp is talking about it too. So we're at a point where there's no escape, and there's literally nothing for people to do but directly face this problem, this original sin that this country was born on in the first place. And for some people, that might be a daunting task because they think that their lives are beautiful and people should stop resisting and things of that nature. And for others, it'll be a time for them to realize that, hey, maybe I was part of the problem. Maybe just because things are great for me, maybe because I don't have to fear the cops coming, just randomly busting into my house and killing me, that maybe I'm part of the problem. And what can I do to help? What can I do to make sure that everyone else around me is aware? So I think through that, the lack of sports is it's planned so perfectly through this time, because there's literally nothing on my timeline, on my Twitter timeline, aside from things from about either George Floyd, the protests, or the many other Black people who have been killed by the police. So I never thought that I would find myself in a spot to say this, but honestly, I'm thankful for the lack of sports at this point.
Having no sports, especially the NBA, first of all, LeBron, his posts have more pain in them than I've ever read. And he's always spoken out about every single thing that happens. And these ones, this is hurt from him. And he is, to me, he's my favorite athlete, been that way since kindergarten. Like, he's like a superhero to me, you know what I mean? And it's like, you see that and it's like, damn. And then Jaylen Brown drives 15 hours from Boston to Atlanta. He's out there with Yachty and Malcolm Brogdon in the crowds. He's actually protesting. Jordan Clarkson, J.R. Smith out in L.A. All these guys are on the ground. They're with the people. They're doing it. And it's so much different than seeing T-shirts on TV, because it's so easy for us to get in a schedule. And this is more for me, because I don't live the experience. But there is a schedule that the country gets on. And it just, it buries things. So I think that's a good point you made about the lack of sports forcing people to look at this. Even people who normally wouldn't. I've seen so many people that I've never seen comment on anything having to look at this, because there's no common ground with other people. I mean, we're in this Blackout Tuesday, and that's where you can start the conversation about social media, where initially this was supposed to be, and throughout the entire, you know, since George Floyd was murdered, it's been an expectation that unless you're posting about this, you shouldn't be out here posting your selfies. You shouldn't be out here posting your normal everyday life, because that isn't everyday life for everyone. Everyone doesn't get the privilege
to live like that. I've been so disappointed looking up and down my Instagram timeline.
Go off, because we're here at social media, and I wanted you – this is one of the biggest reasons I wanted to talk to you, because me and you are locked on Instagram and Twitter. Go off.
I've been so disappointed looking at my Instagram timeline of people posting pictures like everything's fucking peachy and everything's fucking normal. It's not. There are people who think just because they're posting on Blackout Tuesday, everything's fine. It's not. There's more that you can do. Just because you decided to post this one little thing and acknowledge the fact that there is natural racism in this country, that doesn't eliminate the problem. You need to dig deep within yourself and think, what else can I do? Can I donate money? No, I can't donate money. Cool. Can I go to the protest? Am I in a city with a protest? No. All right, cool. So can you educate yourself more and make sure that people around you are educated and are aware of the social injustices going on? Yes, there is no excuse for you not to do that. There's just so much bullshit going on. Even watching on Twitter the amount of quote unquote celebrities being canceled. I woke up this morning, there was a post with four faces and essentially saying they've been canceled, who's next? And when I tell you someone who is of the culture and someone who appreciates the culture, obviously, because I'm a proud Black man, obviously, but I didn't know who those four people were in the first place. So that being said, people have been so fucking caught up in this idea of celebrity, this idea of going viral, this idea of literally standing whoever just to stand whoever. Now you can't do that anymore. Look at your favorite artists. Look at your favorite rappers. Look at your favorite singers. Look at them. Lana Del Rey is doing bullshit, by the way. There have been a lot of artists who I haven't heard from yet. I don't hear you. Black, white, I don't care. I don't hear you. What's up with that? You have there's just so many people in a spot where their platforms are huge, and the fact that and if they said something and if they dedicated their platforms to social justice like they claim to do, Kim Kardashian West, this wouldn't be as big of a problem as it is in the first place if they were doing this the whole time. There are so many Kardashian family who actively profit every single day off Black culture, but when it's time for you to actually stand up for Black people and stand up for the people who support you and the reason why you have all this money in the first place and the reason why Kylie Jenner is a billionaire, which she's not a self-made billionaire, by the way, you go silent. What's wrong with that? You have Black kids now. Kim Kardashian, you have Black kids. Khloe Kardashian, you have Black kids. Kylie Jenner, you have Black kids. You have chosen to make kids with Black men, and you are nowhere to be found. What are you going to tell your kids? Because at the end of the day, when all this shit is calmed down, honestly, I don't even know which way it's going to go. Where it's going to be an extreme. I know that for sure. It's either going to be an extreme moment of change or an extreme backsliding into like the past 100 years. That's where we're at right now. And at the end of the day, wouldn't you rather history look greatly on you and say, at the end of the day, when all these celebrities were silent, they did something, you did something, and we respect you for it? Wouldn't you rather that instead of hiding in your fucking bunkers and just being happy because you have all this fucking money, which at the end of the day is a made up thing and doesn't even equal the value of one human life? Like, at this point, why are they so selfish with their platforms and their algorithms or whatever the fuck they want to call it? Like, why are you so selfish with that when at the end of the day, people are dying? It doesn't even matter if they look like you or if you can relate to them. At the end of the day, there are people who are dying, people who deserve the same rights as you do, the same rights to shelter, the same rights to food, the same rights to the right education, countless other things, the same rights to running water. Flint still has poisoned water, by the way. The same rights to all these things, all these comforts that you enjoy today that you quote unquote think that you have worked for, but at the same time, the little man is the reason why you have this shit in the first place, and now you're going to turn your back on all your fans. I hope that everybody who stands somebody and everybody who supports a celebrity takes the time to look at what their favorite celebrity is doing right now, and if they're not supporting this movement, they're not supporting you, so why would you support them?
Facts. You hit the nail on the head with all those points. And so many celebrities, and this is where, like, I was the most, not the most frustrated, but seeing so many celebrities write, oh, I was taking the time to find the words, or I couldn't find the words. It's like, nah, you were waiting for this to blow over like they all have, so you didn't have to worry about it. Billie Eilish waiting a week to say something when she's like, oh, I couldn't find the words when, obviously.
After talking shit about hip-hop earlier this year. Okay.
And Bobby and I talked about that in a previous podcast. She talked shit about rap earlier. When everyone knows, like, the clothes and everything, it's like, we know where all this is coming from. You're blowing up because of this, and it took you a week to find the words when celebrities who don't even claim to be, you know, in that space. I mean, I saw a picture of Halsey yesterday. She's a pop star out there. She got hit with a rubber bullet. She's out there, like, running medical supplies, like, helping people out, like, up against walls. Like, people are out there actually doing stuff, and you couldn't find the words to help the people who built the culture that made you? Come on.
That cadence, your cadence is not possible without black people. I really want to point that out. That old whisper shit, that's not possible without black people. Like, and also, side note, 21 Savage does it better than you. Just saying. I just wanted to point that out. I'm sorry.
So there's this idea though where even the people who are posting a lot,
yeah,
where's this line between helping exploitation, doing it for an Instagram challenge? I mean, how are you feeling about all that? Because that's an area that's pretty, sometimes can be very hard to maneuver and figure out what you're supposed to post. And so, like, my policy has always been, I retweet way more, repost on my story, because it's not about my voice right now. Mm-hmm. I don't have a big following, but I have, you know, people who'd follow me who aren't going to see stuff otherwise. So I have a responsibility to, you know, at least help in educating as much as I can. Where do you fall? Like, what are your feelings about, you know, people posting, if it's good enough, if it's not, like how do you navigate all that?
Like I said, I think everybody has their role. I think you just sitting down and posting things on your phone once on your phone or whatever isn't enough, clearly. I think there has to be a look inside, inward, into what you feel comfortable doing, because obviously you don't want to send people out there without the feeling of comfort in what they're saying, what they're going to say, what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, everybody has a role to play, whether that be signing petitions, whether that be voting, whether that be actually going out and protesting, donating money to bail funds, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. There is a countless amount of things that can be done to help the situation get better. And you just sitting down and posting about it isn't enough. The least you can do, the very least you could do, is sign petitions. You can also call your local Congress people. You could also just read some books, you know, read some literature about people, from people who don't look like you, and about their experiences. And this goes for everybody. This goes for all communities. One of my friends who isn't white but isn't black, she just recently started reading about how her, for lack of a better word, how her race and how her race is used by white people to essentially be this outstanding minority and the preferred minority. Even educating yourself that way and educating yourself into seeing how your brownness impacts black people. There's just no excuse for you to just be sitting on your ass watching TV, playing video games, and acting like this is something that is going to blow over, because it's been 8 days. It's probably going to be more. And the way that everybody's speaking, from the from protesters who rightfully should be angry to the president who is unrightfully angry at the fact that apparently it was leaked that he was in his bunker because he's a scared ass little bitch. But that's a different story. From those two sides, it's clear that all that's going to happen is escalation. And this shit is not going to blow over. So it's better for you to figure out what you can do now and start immediately contributing to that, and immediately contributing to what is your lane, versus you saying nothing. And then when it's too late and we're in fucking martial law and there's nothing anybody could do, you're like, oh, well, I should have did it. Well, you have the time. You still have the time to do it now. So go do something.
educating yourself in getting rid of thoughts you previously had and looking within yourself and figuring it out and changing your mindset and changing your – there's nothing wrong with that. Educating yourself to be better to other people, I don't understand why so many people are so like so hesitant to do that, because then it crumbles a lot of the feelings they have about themselves and, you know, reveals a lot of the realities of the world and the country that has benefited them and has benefited me and has benefited us so much. There's nothing wrong with going through all this material. There's so many resources out there online. You know, black people, non-black people are doing such a good job of giving us all the resources we could ever need to do the right thing. So like you said, if you don't, it's on you. And if it becomes too late, there's no, oh, well, I should have, because you had the chance. You still have the chance. We're over a week in and there's still plenty. Like, you can still, it's about reading. It's about educating. And because so many of these people who today, when you see all the black tiles down the Instagram feed, that's the first thing they've mentioned on the internet about this. That's the first time they've been public about it. And when all of this, you know, shakes however it's supposed to or shakes however it's going to, and looking back, these are the same people that, you know, play Mo Bamba at the party as loud as it goes and love it. And they love all these athletes and, you know, they love all the culture and they love everything that it does for them. And they love the entertainment it brings, but they don't care about the people they actually know. They don't care about the people they're supposed to be walking alongside trying to, you know, achieve what they're trying to achieve with. So, I mean, you and I have talked about that, you know, many times. I've always said I can't love rap and basketball the way I do without caring about the people I know. So, you know, that's where I am with that. And there's nothing wrong with going back through and relearning and re-educating and changing things to treat people better. I think that's the most basic, most easy thing that we could do. And there's plenty of resources to donate. Like you said, there's so many bail funds across the country. It's not just in your own communities. It's not just, oh, well, there's nothing, you know, here for me. Someone set up a whole thing that one donation gets split across, I think, 40 different cities, different bail funds. And people aren't asking to go donate, you know, $1 million to all these funds. Anything helps. When
unless
anyone
you can
gets
afford
behind
it.
This,
unless do what you're Jeff Bezos.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're Virgil, you donate $50. Oh, and then boy. Drake has a paddock on your wrist going
oh,
nuts.
Oh, boy. Fucking, I had an off-white screensaver for my lock screen. I took that off immediately. It's a, like...
The weekend just posted 5 receipts for $100,000 each. He's from Canada.
Match him.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like
match him. Simple. Like,
it's so simple.
You can afford it, match him. Like, honestly, $10 is enough. And whatever you can give is enough. I don't, like...
Exactly.
Like, at the end of the day... There will not be equality for everybody, including poor whites versus rich whites, unless there is equality with black people involved. And we have seen this time and time again, even throughout the feminist movement, where you had black and white women protesting together and only white women got the right to vote. And they were still being oppressed. To now, when you have all these people out here protesting, you have all these Trump guys fucking protesting, things of that nature, when he just blatantly lies to their faces every fucking day, and they're still willing to do his bidding and things of that nature. They don't know that he's the reason why that they have probably lost their jobs. We have 40 million new people on unemployment. Everybody wanted to, when the economy was booming and everything like that, everybody wanted to say, oh, it's Trump's economy, when in reality, he ain't do shit. It was Barack Obama's economy. Let's be real. And now, when he actually starts doing things, he actually starts signing in laws and things of that nature. Now the economy starts going downhill, right? So, again, like, take however long you need to examine your beliefs, examine what they taught you, and examine what you internalized, because time and time again, it's been proven to be lies. And this is not an outlier. This is not an outlier.
No. And you mentioned it earlier. I saw a document a couple of days ago. It was called The Framework. I don't remember all the details of it, but it was explaining how everyone can help in this process. There's storytellers, there's planners, there's warriors, there's the people who are on the front lines, they're the ones, you know, who don't care, the ones who are about it. But then they're like you said, you don't have to be about it like that to help. You don't have to have the money to help. Someone made a video where all the ad revenue is split up between all these funds. So all you have to do is put the video up and just let it run. Don't click through the ads. All you have to do is let it run. And the entire video is black art. So watching the video and then all these ads, so you're consuming what you're supposed to, you're learning the way you're supposed to, and all this ad revenue is going back. So things like that, there are ways to help for everyone. Nate, I appreciate you coming on. You know, plug your socials, plug the website, plug the podcast.
Yeah, you can. I'm not gonna plug my personal socials, but I am gonna plug my my website socials. You can find Old Milk on Instagram and Twitter at Old_Milk_Co. That is OldMilk_Co. We have a podcast called The Cap, where me and my co-host RJ break down the latest albums in hip hop. We currently have our 6th episode up now on Spotify and Apple Music.
His voice is hilarious, bro. I love listening to him.
He's great. He's so great to plan with and work with. I'm so happy that he's on the team. On last week's episode, we started with a moment of silence, as we did on this podcast as well. We also broke down Lil Yachty's Lil Bo 3, PTSD, the PTSD Deluxe from G Herbo, and also Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist. It's Black Run. Obviously, I'm Black. RJ's Black too. So it's obviously Black Run. I think this is the best time to support Black businesses. Support whoever you can. Support whoever's trying to start up and doing it for the right reasons. Yeah, again, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at OldMilk_Co. Thank you for having me.
Again, this is Dome Theory. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts, realbobmanning.com. I normally don't plug the socials, but I've been, you know, doing my best to keep, you know, sharing resources, ways to help. So follow me on Twitter at TDMCLD. Instagram's the same. Nate, like I said, really appreciate having you on. Until next time, Taylor McLeod, this is Dome Theory.